Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So this is the ratio in offensive, 1-2. In the defensive jihad, you have no right to run. You have to fight till the death. If an army invades your country or invades your town, you have to fight till the death. You cannot say, I am one and they are 1,000. Fight until you die. Even if they all die, no problem. Dying in battle, defending your honor, defending your religion, defending your country is better than being humiliated and captive and being a prisoner of war. So fight till the death. Now, this is number one, when two armies meet. Number two, when your country or city is being invaded and attacked by the disbelievers. Number three is when the Imam tells you to fight. And the Prophet says, وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا. If the Imam, if the ruler tells you, we have to fight, then you have to fight. You cannot say, but I have an appointment, I have this or that. You have to comply. And what is meant by the Imam? The Imam is the ruler, the Muslim ruler, whether he is black or white, whether he is rich or poor. As long as he is the Muslim ruler and he rules the country you are in, then you have to obey him. And this also brings us to the issue of khilafah. We have people always calling, we have to have khilafah, khilafah, khilafah. And they only sing about khilafah and have nothing to do with the deen except khilafah. Overthrow governments, bring this, bring that. And this is not Islam. Islam does not only focus on khilafah. Islam focuses on everything. But nowadays, to highlight this issue only, is it applicable? No, it's not at the moment. It will be, yes. But when can it be implemented? When all the Muslims become true practicing Muslims. Look at Muslim countries. They have so many rulers. Each country has a ruler. We say we don't obey any of them, and we do not give the Pledge of Allegiance to any of them until we have one Imam or one Khalifa. This is not applicable. The Muslims themselves in one country are unable to choose one of them to rule them or to have peace and harmony and tranquility in their country. How do you want all these different Muslim countries to vote for one Khalifa? This is not applicable at the moment. So each country has its ruler. Now, providing he is a Muslim, he does not nullify his Islam, he does not do things of kufr. So if this Muslim ruler says that you have to fight, then it becomes what? Mandatory upon you. The fourth condition or situation that it becomes mandatory for you to perform jihad is when you have something and Muslims need it. For example, if you are an expert in flying an F-15 and there are no Muslims to fly this aircraft, then it becomes mandatory upon you. No one would say, sorry, look for someone else or hire someone. Look into the classified and get someone to fly your airplane or to operate your tank. No, it becomes mandatory upon you. This is the four situations when it becomes mandatory. Other than that, it is what? It is communal obligation, fard kifaya, not mandatory upon every person. Okay, we take the hadith number 401.
Narrated Abdullah bin Abu Aufa that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in one of those days when he was confronting the enemies, waited until the sun has declined. Then he stood up to address the people and said, O people, do not wish for an encounter with the enemy. Pray to Allah that he grant you al-afiyah, the security. But if you encounter them, exercise patience, and you should know that the paradise is under the shadow of the sword. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, reviler of book, despiser of the cloud, defeater of the hordes, defeat our enemy and grant us victory over them.
Okay, this long hadith is also full of beautiful lessons that we can learn However, we begin from the very beginning. The Prophet ﷺ waited until the sun has declined, meaning that this is the best time to fight, when it's noontime or after Salat al-Dhuhr. Then the breeze is suitable, the visibility is suitable. And also if one fights after Fajr as well, this is a long time for fighting before Salat, it's suitable. And then the Prophet ﷺ reminded them, and he said, O people, do not hope or do not wish for an encounter with the enemy. Why is that? Because nothing is equivalent to al-afiyah. What is al-afiyah? Al-afiyah is security in this life, and also security from sin, and security from tribulation and testing. So al-afiyah can be a general word that means everything that is good for you. So the Prophet is telling us, alayhi salam, first of all, do not wish to meet or to encounter your enemy. Sometimes a person feels strong feelings of iman. Oh Allah, let me fight in your cause. Oh Allah, let me do this, let me do that. Once the fighting starts and the battle is going and taking place and the bullets are flying and the bombs are exploding, then he goes back to his nature of being afraid. And why me? And then thinking of running away. So the Prophet is saying, no, don't test Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't put yourself in a place where you would discover, but in a hard way, that you were not ready for that. So don't be egomaniac. Don't think of yourself about yourself in a good way, in the sense that, yes, I can do this, I can do that. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal for al-afiyah. Ask Allah for security in all of your affairs. But if you happen to meet, this is the inevitable. I'm not asking, oh Allah, let me meet the kuffar and fight. This is different than wanting to fight in the cause of Allah. Wanting to fight in the cause of Allah is a sign of iman. And not wanting to fight in the cause of Allah is a sign of hypocrisy, as in the Sahih Muslim. This is different because you want to fight for the cause of Allah, but not, oh Allah, let me meet them. Send me someone that is strong and I will exchange blows and I will kill him. Don't be so sure of yourself. Have the intention to fight, but don't be thinking too much of yourself, because then this means that you're depending on yourself. However, if you meet the enemies, this is inevitable, then you must be patient. Be steadfast. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you capable of fighting them. And the Prophet said, and know and acknowledge that paradise is in the shade of swords. What is meant by this? When people fight, what will they do? This or this? They will do this, fighting each other. So when he does this with his sword and you do this with your sword, who's underneath? The fighters. So the Prophet is telling us, alayhi salam, when the combat takes place, then paradise is under the shade of swords, meaning for those fighting for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the Prophet, alayhi salam, supplicated. And we know that the best and strongest and most effective weapon in jihad is dua, supplicating. And that is why on the eve of Badr, when everybody was asleep, ready to fight in the following morning, enemy troops, the Muslim troops, the Prophet did not sleep, alayhi salam. In his tent, he kept on raising his hand, standing in prayer, and saying, oh Allah, fulfill your promise. Oh Allah, if these people die, you will not be worshipped on earth. Until his cloak fell off his shoulders, and Abu Bakr is saying, oh Prophet of Allah, take it easy. By Allah, Allah the Almighty will fulfill your supplication and he will fulfill his promise to you. So dua is one of the greatest means of attacking and attaining victory. What was his dua? Oh Allah, revealer of the book, disperser of the clouds, defeater of the hordes, defeat our enemy and grant us victory over them. So praising Allah Azza wa Jal with these beautiful four words, that no one can do it, revealing the book, dispersing of the clouds and this and defeating of the enemy. Only Allah can do this. What is your request? My request is grant us victory over our enemy. So the hadith gives you the etiquette of asking Allah Azza wa Jal. It gives you the mentality you should have when fighting for the cause of Allah. Don't think so positive of yourself, saying that I want this and I want that. But once you meet, show your patience and show your strength, because this is a time of fighting. And likewise, the hadiths of some of the companions hoping and wishing to meet the enemy, this does not go against this, because the enemy is in front of us. So we're not wishing something that is not happening. And this shows you that wanting to meet the enemy, as the Prophet said, it's not good. But if you're meeting them, then go ahead and show your steadfast and show your strength to them. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.